Monster Man, Episode 485, Task Genies, Part 2. Hello, and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm taking a look at the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are continuing our journey through the monsters of Al-Qadim, the Arabian Nights-inspired fantasy setting for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. Before we begin today's episode, a quick note. You may notice that this episode sounds a little different from regular episodes. That is because I am traveling at the moment, and therefore I'm recording on the road. And that means using a different microphone, being in different rooms, etc., etc. So if you hear some background noise, traffic sounds, anything like that, I apologize, but it is what it is. Regular service should be resumed in the next few weeks. So, today's monsters are two more creatures from the Tasked Genies section. If you recall, these were genies who had been, well, tasked to do a particular job for so long that they basically become specialized types. So, for instance, the Architect Genie, which we covered last time, was once a Dao, but had become this specific type of creature. And that is also true for the two Tasked Genies we're going to look at today, the Artist and the Guardian. So artists are, for want of a better term, artists. They're musicians, painters, and so on. And there's kind of a divide among the sort of artisan craftsperson artists, the potters and the glass blowers and whatever, and what we would tend to think of as fine artists, your musicians, painters, and sculptors, which the artists are kind of, all of these tasked genies are sort of stereotypes or caricatures even of the jobs that they represent. So artists, like architects, are kind of fussy perfectionists, but they're also sort of snobs. They can either be bound to a particular patron, or they can work freely, in which case I guess they're those genies who tend to stay in one place rather than working for one person. They do their best work when they're free. So a genie who's sort of bound by a contract or by, you know, magic will always do work that's not quite as good as a genie who's free to work on whatever they feel like. They have pretty extensive illusion powers, and there's a fun note which says that they use these in the mock-up stages, so they'll think about what it is they want to make and then represent that with their illusion powers rather than, you know, essentially using their illusory powers as a kind of sketch, which I think is a really interesting way to think about powers. You know, illusion powers allow you to create, and particularly if you have the very extensive ones that the artist genies have, they allow you to create anything, and that's usually thought of as a way to deceive somebody, but of course it can also be used creatively. So I thought that that was a fun little detail. But also, because their illusions are permanent until the genie intentionally dispels them, or until somebody touches them with cold iron, which is probably unlikely if you're, you know, behind a rope in a museum, they sometimes just don't bother making the actual thing, particularly if their patron kind of gets on their nerves. They'll just knock up an illusion and pass it off. They're eccentric and hedonistic and proud. They look down on people who don't do art, and they tend to either blend in with or radically stand out from the mortal communities that they live among. So again, unlike most genies, these task genies are very comfortable living in mortal communities. There's a pretty good section about how they can be used as antagonists, because in general, this seems like a fun piece of setting information, but I don't know how monstery they are. They're just artists. They hang around the courts of the wealthy and powerful doing paintings and things. It's fine, but it's not very adventurous. I do like the idea that if you upset one of them, they might start giving valuable works of art to your rivals, they might start rubbishing your name, they might make works of art satirizing you. But then the final example is they might murder you. An example of a potter baking poison into a vessel so that it gradually kills whoever eats or drinks from it, which I have to say, slow premeditated murder. Not very chaotic neutral of you, Artist Genie. You find them in places where wealthy patrons are, which makes sense. I like the idea of having a kind of court setting as a base or a recurring location for a group of Al-Qadim player characters. And given that we're going with an Arabian Nights fantasy kind of theme, you imagine that most of the ruler's court, you know, most of the various officials and courtiers and nobles and things
are these very flowery flatterers, right? The ruler is sitting in their throne room and everybody's going, "Your wisdom outshines the stars, O Caliph." But the genie is just going around going, "I can't work under these conditions. No one appreciates me." I think that's kind of a fun little background detail. And that means that you could befriend the weirdo, which is something that player characters in very regimented situations often do. You could have the artist genie give quests to PCs. I think they could do boring ones like, you know, you gotta go and find me some such and such a mineral to make such and such a paint. You know, this was an era, well, the Middle Ages was an era when exotic ingredients were often used to make pigments, so I guess you could do something with that. I think it would be more fun to involve it in some kind of art forgery or smuggling plot, like particularly if the genie is bound to a location. So if it can't really go far from its studio and it hears that somebody is passing off their own work as its, presumably it would go berserk the way that they do, right? We're told that artist genies are very like temperamental and get very upset when their name as an artist is blackened, which, you know, someone passing off inferior works as theirs. So they might need the PCs to help them get to the bottom of this art forgery ring. And you could get the illusion powers working in there. Or maybe it's art theft. I mean, everybody loves a good art theft. So I think that there's a lot of possibilities in terms of actually including this character as an ally, but even possibly as a sort of patron for a group of PCs. So that's fun. A little more obvious in its application is the next monster, which is the Guardian Genie. They are former Ifrits. Oh, I should have said that artist genies are former Dao and Jin. These ones are former Ifrit. And they are bound to act basically as security guards, not bodyguards, who are a different type of task genie. These guard places and things. And they have two faces to look in two directions at once, which is fun. They are fast and alert, and they're resistant to all different kinds of charm and illusion powers. So most of the ways that you would normally bypass a security guard are risky against the Guardian Genie. It has way too many alert powers. It can see through invisibility, etc., etc. I like that they are not particularly opposed to passing out information about the things that they're guarding. So they will tell you what they're guarding and tell you what it is and what it does. Part of their standard contract is that they get to know what it is they're protecting. But they are guards that is going to be extremely challenging to get past. They're quite sort of brusque and businesslike in their manner. A conversation that you have with a Guardian Genie is going to be something like, "This is a restricted area, please leave." And then repeated two or three times before they start killing you. They're very sort of professional, which I like. They work according to contracts, and I like the idea that they find them quite frustrating because the builder genie or the artist genie, you know, makes a work of art, and that work of art is then done, and then they go on to the next one. But the Guardian Genie is in a state of constant alertness because its task is never really complete. It's only complete so far. You know, no one has stolen the whatever it is yet, but they have never rendered it permanently safe, and they never can. So their whole attitude is a little bit different from the other task genies. They work according to magical contracts, which are often for 101 years or 1,001 years, which means they're usually long after the lifetime of the person who created the contract. So it might be the case that a Guardian Genie is still guarding a location or object that nobody actually wants guarded, but it can't change. You know, it signed a contract, and if the other person didn't hold up their end of the contract, well, that's up to them, but the Guardian Genie is going to hold up its end of the contract. At their least interesting, I think the Guardian Genie is a guy that you have to fight. He's got so many good kind of anti-charm, anti-sneaking powers that honestly, the best thing to do with him is just to beat him in a stand-up fight. Now, that's very challenging because he's a very powerful opponent, but, you know, you might say that there's no way around him except through him. But I think that there's actually a lot of fun to be had with the Guardian Genie because you can present a group, even of quite lower level characters, with an opponent that they just can't get past. They can't beat him in a fight, and they can't sneak past him, so they need to use lateral thinking. they need to get the person who signed the contract to abrogate it somehow, or they need to amend the wording of it so that they are part of it and they get authorization, right? If you get up to this huge Ifrit and he says authorized personnel only, well, you just have to figure out a way to become authorized personnel. Or maybe you find some other way to invalidate the contract. Because the Ifrit doesn't want the thing guarded, or it's not an Ifrit anymore, the guardian genie doesn't want the thing guarded. Doesn't care. It just wants the contract fulfilled. So I think there's some fun to be had with the idea of a guardian that is not beatable by conventional means, and so having to use other strategies to get at the thing. I think that could be enjoyable. And again, has kind of the adventurer rather than world-beating hero, you know, using this kind of strategy to get around a guard is, you know, quite an Aladdin-y sort of thing to do. Well, I mean, he'd do it with magic, but you know what I mean. So I think there's something there. Now, in our next episode, guess what? It's going to be genies. More tasked genies. But so far, I actually think this section is, you know, I thought it was going to be essentially just very slight variations on existing monsters. But actually, I think so far these have been pretty distinct from the core ones, distinct enough to be interesting to talk about, and I hope that's going to continue to be the case, but either way, I hope that you will join me next time, right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you've got a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, why not get in touch? I'm on Twitter as @GonzoHistory, on Mastodon as GonzoHistory@dice.camp, or you can find me on Instagram at MonsterManGonzo, or drop me an email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. Our theme music is an extract from Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, and is used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Our cover art is by Ray Otis. Thanks for listening, and please join me next time for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great.